Good morning and welcome to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware-Peak, and today in the program we'll talk with Susan Odell of Foodell.com and Ann Bloomquist about the EATS program in local schools and about how healthy food can and is making it into the schools.
Good morning, Lynn. I'm Tim Henney. Then a conversation with Dr. Robin Chutkin. She's the author of the widely acclaimed book, Gut Bliss, a 10-day plan to ban bloat, flush toxins, and dump your digestive baggage the healthy way. She's also a regular on the Dr. Oz show.
Ban bloat.
Ban bloat. Say that 10 times fast.
I like the idea of it, mostly. Then finally, we'll speak with local landscape architect Alex Stoy. He is of Mountain Miners Landscaping. He's taken water conservation and landscaping to a new level. All that, so stay with us. This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch, only in Park City, only on KPCW. Dr. Robin Chutkin, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thank you so much for having me.
To start with, on your website, you quote Hippocrates saying, "All disease begins in the gut." And as an integrative gastroenterologist, I want you just to address that for a moment.
Absolutely. So, you know, every specialist thinks that their organ is the most important. So the neurologists think it's the brain, the cardiologists think it's the heart, but I'm here to tell you it's all about your gut. But the reason that that quotation from Hippocrates is so relevant today is we're seeing a virtual epidemic of not just bloating, but all kinds of GI problems. And even the things that don't seem directly related to our GI tract, often the digestive system is the portal of entry. It's how things get into the body through a damaged digestive membrane. So it really is this very important hub, if you will, for what's going on in the rest of the body.
Okay, so in 2004, you founded the Digestive Center for Women at Georgetown Hospital. And I found this to be immediately very curious, because for women, so how is our digestion different than men's?
So, Lynn, I will say that I do see male patients, and I am very fond of my male patients, but about 85% of our patients are female, so clearly there's a focus on women. And we are very different in terms of our digestive tract. So one of the really shocking differences is that women have a longer colon than men, on average 10 centimeters longer. And we think that this longer length is to allow for absorption of more fluid during childbearing, where we have to keep the amniotic fluid replete. But the problem with this longer length is that there are lots more twists and turns to it. So the products of digestion, the gas and the air, can get stuck at these multiple loops and curves in this longer female colon. I call it the voluptuous venous colon
in
the book.
That's a positive twist.
And so, you know, that's why your husband or your brother or your father or your boyfriend will complain about having a beer belly and being fat, but not so much about being bloated. They also have more testosterone on board, so that leads to a more rigid abdominal wall that binds the bowel in. You know, it's like a better fitting pair of Spanx that what they have than what we have. And so in terms of these anatomical things, they don't have to worry as much, but they still have to worry about the food they eat and what they drink and parasites and gallbladder issues and air swallowing and gluten sensitivity and all these different things that conspire to bloat us.
Right. Now, when I think of a long, twisty-turny, voluptuous colon, I think immediately of stagnation. Is stagnation the big problem?
Stagnation can be a huge problem. You know, the ancient Egyptians talked about it. They talked about auto-intoxication, where the food products that were broken down would sit in a sluggish colon, and the wrong kind of bacteria would overgrow, and toxins could sort of leach into the rest of the body. And it turns out they were probably onto something all those thousands of years ago. So, you know, if you look even at something like colon cancer, there are studies that show that there is a correlation between constipation and stagnation and colon cancer, because quite frankly, what's in your stool is meant to be passed out. It's waste matter, right? It's supposed to be in the sewer. not sitting around in your colon for days and days and days on end. And what that means is that toxins that are that your body is trying to get rid of are now sitting there being exposed to the lining of your colon for a much longer period of time than they should be. And so this is a real problem, and it's a real problem with the Western diet, the standard American diet, the SAD diet, which is chock full of processed foods and high in fat, high in sugar, and very low in fruits and vegetables. The standard American diet, less than 7% of us are eating fruits and vegetables on a daily basis.
Boy, that's hard to believe, really. But in your book, you are outlining a 10-day plan to really get rid of this bloat and flush the toxins. Is it more than just diet?
It is. It really is, Lynn. And, you know, it is a plan, not a diet. So it is sort of rolling up our sleeves together and let's figure this out. And so there are six foods that I recommend eliminating while you're on the plan, because these are the six foods that are most strongly associated with bloating. And that's soy, artificial sweeteners, dairy, gluten, alcohol, and sugar. And that spells out SAD gas, so it's easy to remember. But there are lots of other things, too, that I recommend doing. There's something called Happy Abs, and that's a very simple thing where you take a 1 or 2 pound dumbbell and you kind of circumnavigate your belly button. You go in a clockwise direction around your belly button, and that helps to push a lot of the air out. I recommend working up a sweat because it's a great stimulator of digestion and peristalsis, that movement through the digestive tract. I recommend some biofeedback techniques and massage and meditation. So it's even the way you breathe, I recommend some breathing techniques to help deflate your belly. So it's much more than just a diet, and it's really not a detox plan. It's just a sensible approach to figuring out what bloats you and what you can do to get rid of it.
Dr. Chutkin, I know that since there has been so much talk, and we talk a lot about gluten on this show, many, many people tie bloating in their gut to gluten. How much does gluten play into it?
So gluten can really make a huge difference for lots of people, but it's important to figure out if you are one of those people who either have celiac disease, which is a more serious allergy to gluten, mm-hmm. or have gluten intolerance, a gluten sensitivity. And because so many of us eat gluten every day and we're bloated every day, it's really hard to make that connection. So what I recommend doing is, you know, gluten again, it's the G in the gas, part of SAD gas, is eliminating it for 10 days. And then if you feel a lot better and you don't miss it, by all means, continue to avoid it. But if you decide, gosh, I really am missing my almond croissant and I wonder what would happen if I started eating it again, eliminate things and then reintroduce them one by one. And for me, and gluten, it's not so much bloating, but I get brain fog. I get really tired. If I eat a bagel, about half an hour later, I really feel like I have to go and lie down and take a nap. And I wasn't able to discover this until I really eliminated it for an extended period of time. Because, I mean, who isn't tired on a daily basis, right?
Yeah.
So I could never figure out, was I just not getting enough sleep? Was it my blood sugar level? And when I got rid of the gluten and then reintroduced it, it was very clear that that was what it was.
Okay. So when women feel bloat, a lot of times we associate it with hormones. And if you follow your program in your book, Gut Bliss, can you eliminate that bloat that happens at that time of the month?
You know, there this is not a book that really makes recommendations for what to do about hormone problems other than suggesting that they exist and helping you to figure out how you might find out if they exist. I talk about something called estrogen dominance, and I talk about the effects of estrogen and progesterone on the gut, as well as undiagnosed thyroid conditions, which are also a hormonal cause of bloating. There is a great book, and I'll give a shout out to my, as I call her, my below-the-waist sister, Dr. Sarah Gottfried,
right.
who's an OBGYN, and she wrote a book about balancing hormones that I think called A Hormone Cure that I think is a really great resource. But I think what my book does is it helps point you in that direction in terms of it's almost like an extended checklist of what are the different things. Is it an anatomical difference? Are you having air swallowing? Is it bacterial imbalance, an undiagnosed parasite, hormonal imbalance? Is it belly fat, gluten sensitivity, inflammation, irritable bowel, leaky gut, diverticulosis, the gallbladder. I go through all of them so that you can read this and kind of check off and say, well, that doesn't sound like me. That's not the problem I'm having. Or, aha, this could be me. And then if you think it is your hormones, I highly recommend that you go and see your OBGYN or your family practice doctor, internal medicine doctor, and help to figure it out together. So this is sort of the information to help you be a better medical detective, but I still recommend sharing the problem with your doctor so he or she can help you optimize things.
Right. And just for our listeners, we have interviewed Dr. Sarah Godfrey, and we have that archived on the KPCW website. Also, I thought to ask about, you know, some people would say, oh, unless you get a colonic and eat, I forget what all the things are, psyllium husk and all those chalky things that really are meant to strip your intestines, you know, you'll never really get clean. Do you believe that? Obviously not to be true.
I really don't. And I do talk about colonics in the book. And, you know, I do have lots of great friends in the naturopathic world, and not all of them share my views, and I don't share all of their views. But I really don't think that we need to sort of cleanse and detox in this really drastic way. If we are doing what we need to be doing, which is drinking lots of water, getting some exercise, eating lots of fruits and vegetables on a regular basis, then our digestive tract has generally no problems eliminating and detoxing, and we don't need to go in there and rotor-rooter out all the stool, because we're also eliminating a lot of our essential good bacteria when we go in and we do these high-pressure colonics. And it's just too extreme, and most of us really don't need to do that. What I do recommend for my patients who are interested in, you know, sort of getting a good clean out, is that seasonally, so that would end up being four times a year, they do a green juice fast just for a couple of days, just to lighten it up. If they feel like they've been eating too heavily, eating too much, sort of toxing too much, rather than a more drastic regimen, I recommend just broths and green juices for a day or two. And it's amazing how that can unclog the pipes and have you feeling better.
Well, I think most people would like to hear that you don't have to do these drastic things to clean out your guts.
You really don't.
Finally, I wanted to ask you about the healthy bacteria in your gut and what happens to it when there's so much stagnation.
So I'm really glad you asked me about what we call the microbiome. So those are the trillions, the gazillions of bacteria living in the gut that are really essential, not just for good digestive health, but for good overall health. They're an important part of the immune system and keeping a healthy immune system. And when we take unnecessary antibiotics, they end up killing off a lot of the good bacteria. And I wish it were as easy as going to the drugstore and taking a probiotic. That would be great, right? But that's sort of like eating fast food every day and thinking that you'll just take a multivitamin and all will be well. So we really have to protect our gut bacteria, not focus so much on replacing them. And we protect them by avoiding the things that kill them off. So the chemicals and the toxins and processed food, unnecessary antibiotics, long-term antacids and acid-suppressive drugs that can change a pH and make it more difficult for them to survive. And then we want to encourage the growth of good bacteria by eating lots of green leafy vegetables that help the good species of bacteria to thrive, and avoiding the really sugary, starchy stuff that contribute to overgrowth of yeast species and other non-desirables.
The book is Gut Bliss, Feel Light, Tight, and Bright, The Healthy Way. And Dr. Robin Chutkin, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, Lynn.